Hey, welcome to the Hypothesis Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Martinez. Today we have returning guest, John S. Pennington Jr. If you haven't checked out the other episode, please go check it out. We talk about manipulation, Bitcoin, gold, dollar, talk a lot about cool stuff. But today is deal breakdown. We cover cool, interesting stories. Today we have a deal breakdown. John, what is your deal breakdown? A cool, interesting story that you have for us today.
Interesting story and a deal breakdown. I don't know if I'll give you a deal, but I'll probably give you a problem solving, right? Because a lot of entrepreneurs, that's what they do. They problem solve, problem solve, problem solve. Absolutely. So this is my first business right out of college, and it was 1989, and the Soviet Union had just fallen, and the Cold War was over, and that allowed people from the United States to sell their goods to Eastern Bloc countries. Mm-hmm. And me and my partners started collecting used Levi 501 jeans all over the West, all over the Western United States, and shipping them to Eastern Europe and selling them. And you could make like you could buy them over here for like $13 brand new or $6 used. And you could sell them for $100 over in Eastern Bloc country. So this was the problem. So we started buying from thrift stores. And then we taught the thrift stores what we were doing, and we upped their price, and we gave them more money than they can actually. If you put it on the shelf for $6, if you send it to one central location, we'll pay you $10. And they were like, what? So these thrift stores all over the West would ship them to one central location, and we'd pay them $10 for, you know, a no-hole, no-stain used Levi 501 jean that would normally sell for $6 on the retail shelf. But in addition, we would buy the ones with holes in the knees, which they couldn't sell. Back in that day, no one wore holy jeans. It's great now, everyone wears them, but back in the day, you didn't. And so we would pay them like $3 or $4 for the holy ones. And so their profits went way up. And so after a while, they started letting we taught them all this. They started letting competitors come in from Los Angeles and buy the jeans away from us. And so we were really mad at the moment. We were really mad. We felt betrayed that we had taught you, the thrift store, something, how it worked, and then you used that knowledge to hurt us. So we decided, listen, forget the thrift stores. In the pit of despair, we decided to problem solve. And so we started advertising in newspapers to the public. We buy used Levi 501 jeans. If you need $10 and your Levi's don't fit, bring them to us and we'll pay you $10 cash. Holy ones, $4. And we started buying more jeans than we could. And we ran out of money that one. We had one weekend, we ran out of money. We sat there and just paid jeans. People were lining up the door, jeans, ran out of money. And so then we decided to go all over the West. So we would go to, let's say, Topeka, Kansas. And we would advertise 3 days only, come to the mall. We're buying used Levi 501 jeans and jackets, up to $10. Holy ones, blah, blah, blah. Come see us. And the week we advertised on the radio, that 2 weeks we advertised on the radio, we would go in early and we would talk to all the thrift stores, all the consignment shops, and all of the pawn shops. Mm-hmm. And we said to the pawn shop owners and the consignment shop owners, listen, when we leave here on Monday morning, we want you to continue buying jeans from the public. And we're going to teach you how to, if you pay $1,000 out in a week, you should sell it to us for $2,000. You should double your money almost every week. And if you're not, we'll retrain you. So when we left there and we said, come to the mall, watch us. They'd come to the mall. We'd have hundreds of people lined up. We'd buy $20,000 worth of Levi's in one weekend. Wow. And so then after we left, we would go to each, for the next couple of days, we'd go to each consignment store, each pawn shop, put up signs in their windows, give them charge, train their employees. And we go back to Salt Lake City where all the jeans are going to come. We're going to sew them. We're going to re-dye them. And then we're going to ship them to Europe and sell them. We would leave that little town with 17 locations for people to sell their used Levi's. And so over about a five-year period, we built up 650 locations that were buying from the public, boxing them up, shipping to Salt Lake City. I had washers and dryers and steam rooms for tar stains. We had 7 seamstresses that full time, 8 hours a day, repaired used Levi 501 jeans with their sewing machines. And so I did that for 9 years. 9 years we did that. And then eventually the thrift stores called us back. They said, come, we want you to come start buying jeans. We came back and we found out they were letting our competitors only buy the jeans with no holes, no stains. We had tens of thousands of jeans piled up over here that were holes, and we were buying holes. So we used that leverage to say, listen, well, we're the only ones buying holes, and if you got to make the other guys take the holes. And so we used leverage. So we started buying back from thrift stores, but we had a supply. So when you buy from thrift stores and you buy 1,000 jeans, you usually get 200 with no holes, no stains, 800 with stains and holes. When you buy from the public, it's opposite. You get 800 no holes, no stains, and 200 with holes and stains. So our quality in Europe was, we were beating every competitor. There was no competitor that could beat us because of our supply chain. Our supply chain was directly to the public. Our supply chain wasn't directly only the thrift stores. Everyone else's supply chain was through thrift stores. And so when you competed against Europe and we had competitors coming in then, we always had the best quality. So what I'm trying to say to you on your deal question, it's more of problem solving. We solved a problem that no one else could solve, and we paid for our trips by going to Topeka, Kansas, advertising, buying $20,000 worth of jeans, leaving there with a profit, and also developing 16 to 17 locations that would continually ship us jeans for years and years and years and years. And then that thing lasted about 9 years, maybe 10 years, almost 10 years. And what happened in the 97, 98, Ronald Reagan had kept the dollar low for a long time, and that helps exports. Yeah. Well, the dollar started going like this, up, up, up. That was in 97. 97, the kids started wearing the baggy look. And you know, 501s are tight-fitting jeans, the baggy look. And the third thing that happened was the Gulf War. After the wall fell in 98, the Soviet Union, everyone loved America. They wanted Made in USA products. By 98, we had had the first Gulf War, and people in Europe were like, ah, the Americans are bombing for oil, right? And so those three things all happened kind of in the same year, and we knew it was going to die one day. We didn't know it was going to go 9 years, but fashion always changes, and it just changed really. It changed in 1 year. It wasn't a bell curve. It was a cliff, and we got out of the business in 1999. That's how it happened. But anyway, that's how, if you ask me a deal and how to problem solve, we problem solved that, and it was a great business. It was so fun. The used jean business, I was traveling to Europe back and forth. You know, we opened a second office in Barcelona. We had, you know, an office in Germany. My partners were selling retail in Prague. It was just fun to build and have employees on two continents and all the states travel. It was a blast. And I'm sad it kind of died, but it died. And then I went into the fund world and it got better. But anyway, it was a really fun business for about 9 years, right out of college. It was my first business I started.
I love this business, and I'm so glad you told me the story, because I love the problem solving you took to overcome those issues, and you having offices in Prague and Europe and Germany and Berlin, like, that is insane. Flipping jeans. That is really insane.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
I love that you told me that story. I don't know when the last time you told that story was, but I'm glad you shared it here, because I think that's an amazing story. And I don't know, man. That is so cool, because it's arbitrage. Arbitrage is great. Right.
Yeah.
And you find where you can buy low and sell high. Simple form of business.
Yeah, I think exactly. Hey, man, I got to go, but thank you. That's been really good catching up with you again. And good luck to you and your enterprise. Appreciate you.
No, thank you so much for everybody here. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, John. Go check out his book, JonasPenningtonJr.com.
Well, yeah. Get this book, Dollars, Gold, and Bitcoin. Just came out on Amazon. And I signed yours for you. It's on audible.com, and it's my voice for 6.5 hours. I went into a studio and recorded it. So you can speed it up, do whatever you want, but audible.com, amazon.com, dollars, gold, and Bitcoin. And I have a chapter in here that's called Blue Jeans to Billions. And it talks about the experience I just shared with you, how I built the jeans, how me and my partners built the jeans business. So good luck. If you want to buy the book, please do. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for sharing your time. It's been amazing. For everybody here, go like and subscribe. You know what to do. We'll see you. Thank you.